Liebe Zuschauer und Zuschauerinnen,
dear viewers and listeners, dear friends, greetings in God and welcome to the series The True School is Life. Today's topic is freedom, a topic that has preoccupied humankind for thousands of years. The word freedom is used over and over again, and all too often it is misused. Much is written and philosophized about it. Well, what is true freedom anyway? And how can we attain it? In one of the countless teaching and seminar hours that Gabriele, the prophetess and emissary of God, has given over the last 5 decades, she gave basic advice under the title, Take the Freedom. Become free, be free. We are glad that we may read from it today. So let's listen and learn together. Gabriele begins with the words, Cosmic freedom is one of the divine principles active in the law of God, in the 7 basic powers. Without love, there is no freedom, and without freedom, there is no love. Many a one will now think, what does freedom have to do with love? And vice versa, what does love have to do with freedom? Let us first shed some light on the word freedom. Where there is no freedom, there is unfreedom, bondage, in short, binding. Thus, the binding is in the way of our freedom. Let us therefore explore the question, what is binding and how does it develop? Binding grows out of self-love, which says, everything only for me. We can take our freedom, that is, attain it, only when we truly love our neighbor, when we think of our neighbor with our heart, when we are well disposed toward them and do not expect anything from them. On the contrary, we give to them. This is what Jesus the Christ called for in his Sermon on the Mount. Give what you expect. In other words, you should always first give what you expect from others. Then you will gradually forget your own ego, the person-centered, egotistical thinking that revolves around your own personal well-being.
Love is giving, thus Gabriele. Those who do not reject their neighbor, but learn to understand them and stand by them, even in many a situation that is incomprehensible and difficult to see through, can take the liberty to say, I'll do what I can for you, but I won't let myself be bound. Of course, this presupposes that we, for our part, do not bind ourselves to our neighbor. To bind always means to hold on to our neighbor, to hang on to them, ultimately to make them dependent on us as well. We then give only so much that makes the other submissive. The one who realizes that he is bound might now think, I want to shake off this binding. I want to gain freedom. So I will push my neighbor to whom I am bound away from me. I will distance myself from him, forsake him, either internally or even externally. But we do not overcome the binding in this way. This is not freedom, but rather it is against freedom, because freedom is part of equality and also of unity. And in unity, there is always the responsibility towards our fellow human being. Let us recognize the difference between to forsake and to let go. To forsake means to turn one's back on one's neighbor, to let them down, to fail them. If we abandon our neighbor, either internally or externally, we are shirking our responsibility and likewise quitting the unity. God never turns away from His children. Why not? God is unity, and unity is love, selfless, impersonal, always giving. He expects nothing for himself and leaves each one of us the freedom to make our own decision and develop ourselves. God says, "You should," but He lets us go. We should learn to no longer bind ourselves to our neighbor, to let them be independent and be independent ourselves. Therefore, to let go of our neighbor, so that they can unfold and we can unfold ourselves. Freedom develops from this. Gabriele also explains why it is so important for us to let go of bindings and unfulfilled wishes, because they make us unhappy. She said about this, "Let's look around us. Many people are unhappy. If we question our own existence, we will very soon feel in ourselves that people who bind themselves to us or people to whom we bind ourselves cannot freely develop. From this, it follows that those who bind themselves to others cannot freely develop. Each one of us strives for happiness. We want to be happy. Therefore, the question to ourselves is, who makes us unhappy? Or what makes us unhappy?" Many a one will now say, "I'm afraid to let go. It could be that I would then be alone." Anyone who lives in this fear has to recognize that he lives in bondage and not in freedom. Binding makes us unhappy. We never feel forsaken when we do not bind others to us and do not bind ourselves to our fellow people as well. Those who attach themselves to their neighbor are self-centered, selfish, unloving, and every lack of love makes us unhappy. We then expect our happiness from others. They should make us happy. They should give us from their energy. We don't want to give, but to take.
Gabriele continues, "Take your freedom, that is, win freedom, which means, first of all, to make sure we know what true freedom means. How often do we hear, 'I take the liberty to say or do this or that,' which usually amounts to doing what we feel like doing, that is, doing what we want, more or less ruthlessly, without taking into account the freedom and concerns of our neighbor? What about freedom here? In reality, we harm ourselves and the other one, because the freedom we take for ourselves usually makes the other one ultimately unhappy. For many, to take one's freedom means to live at the expense of the other. If we analyze the word freedom and relate the analysis to ourselves, that is, question why we bind ourselves to our fellow people or allow others to bind themselves to us, we will realize that it is solely the selfish ego and the fear of perhaps being rejected by others. Many a person shrugs his shoulders in adversity and says, "Well, that's just my fate." Those who are so resigned to fate do not believe in freedom. Yet, we have the freedom to determine our fate ourselves, to remedy the causes in time with the strength of the Christ of God, or to reduce or mitigate an effect that has already occurred, for instance, a blow of fate. It depends on us, how we deal with the circumstances of our earthly existence, whether we truly live by actively overcoming it or react passively, bound by fate. Many people behave like slaves, slaves to their own human ego, and consequently subject to the influence of the ego of others. They bind themselves to their own weaknesses. Such people talk about freedom and do not know that freedom lies in their thinking, speaking, and acting. Every person determines for themselves their development and thus their path. They have the freedom to decide at every moment. Gabriele explains further. No person is free of moods and inhibitions. But our moods and inhibitions, everything that touches us, are indications from our soul. The movements of our disposition are the language of our soul. It speaks to us and asks us to question the moods, the inhibitions and movements, in order to become free from what we have imposed and may continue to impose on it through our feelings, thoughts, words, and actions. Alertness toward ourselves is called for. Before we commit a personal, all-too-human blunder, that is, before we fall back into our old mistakes, our faulty attitudes and weaknesses, we have already felt an uneasy feeling in our stomach area that we simply pushed aside. Thus, we may have gotten into situations that would not have been necessary if we had listened to this inner feeling, to the pointing finger of our conscience. That's why it's so important. As soon as we feel an unease, be it inhibitions, disturbances, a certain uneasiness, we should pay attention. Stop! Here, something is being signaled to me. Here, my subconscious is speaking. Here, my soul is speaking to me. What does it want to tell me today? Indeed, at this moment? Let's work it out and not be afraid to look at it closely, because these are certainly not always nice things. And if we are willing to become free of our evil, only then will we feel what true freedom means. An inner strength develops, and ultimately, also a feeling of goodwill toward our fellow people. We no longer expect anything from them. We can give them as much as we can without binding ourselves to them or that they bind themselves to us.
And Gabriele points out the following to us. The path to fulfilling the meaning of our existence on earth leads to freedom, to being free. We are on this earth so that with the help of the Spirit of God in us, we free ourselves in good time from our all too human aspects, to then follow the free path for our neighbor, without being dependent on them. This is the path of the human being to the kingdom of heaven. Everything else is a selfish path which many tread over years, decades, but which leads over and over again into this side of life. That is why there are so many people. On the other hand, the free path is to be free, in good time, in order to truly serve our neighbor. That is life. That is the following of Christ. This leads more and more to being close to God, connected to God, and to inner security. This is the path for every human being, if they want to follow it. Only self-recognition, the knowledge of the truth about ourselves, makes us free. It often takes a little courage to look at oneself honestly, that is, unsparingly, especially if one has failed to do so for years. Without being aware of it, the demand of our ego is to often hide behind excuses that begin with, for example, I just want, or, but the other person, or, it's totally normal, and much more. Gabriele spurs us on and also gives us an exercise to help. She says, take courage, dear fellow people. Let us face ourselves. It is worth it. For who would not like to gain the freedom that leads us out of confinement, out of our compulsions, that enables us to think great thoughts, and ultimately makes us happy from within? Let's take a brief moment now to think about ourselves. To think means to cause movement. I move what corresponds to my thoughts in order to look into the thoughts. Therefore, let's move the thoughts around the word freedom, and we will experience ourselves. Let's take brief notes. Let's record in keywords what went on inside us.
We continue reading. So now we have experienced the content of our own thinking. It is as if a stranger is thinking, because those who very gradually analyze the content of their thinking and talking initially think that what they are working out is not them. Let's face the facts. What hurts us, what hits us, is not another. It is ourselves. If we recognize today what binds us, we have the chance to become free of it today. Those who strive for a conscious life, who want to become clear, sincere, and free from within, in order to find their way out of the narrow circle of their ego, of being caught in self-centeredness, will make an effort to grasp their subcommunications, what goes on underneath what they consciously think, speak, or do. These people get to know themselves more deeply than the superficial person. They gradually free themselves from the binding to their own person, to their personal, human, and all-to-human aspects. They gain distance from themselves. They become better and better at mastering their lives and are able to help and support others ever more selflessly, that is, without the desire for recognition and ovations of gratitude. They are increasingly impersonal, independent, self-reliant, and free from within. The horizon of their consciousness expands. They attain a broad view, far-sightedness, and an in-depth view, and in this way become capable of truly bearing responsibility. Dear fellow pupils, we learn together from the words from Gabriele. Therefore, binding is lack of freedom. Connecting makes us free. A true friendship is the connection between those people who give to one another but do not expect anything from each other. Let us be aware that the one who gives selflessly will also receive. True love, true friendship, is positive communication, is giving and receiving without expectation. That is connection. That is what we should strive for. That makes us free and happy. A mutual attitude of expectation makes us dependent. Every dependence is binding, that is, unfreedom. We then expect the others to confirm us again and again, and the others expect this of us. This leads to compulsions. Every confirmation from others leads to cronyism, which usually does not last long. Freedom also means, among other things, to do justice to our neighbor, with whom we may be together for years. Through this, independence and true freedom develops. To be just to oneself, that is, honest with oneself, also brings justice and honesty toward our fellow people. This makes us free. If we are just to ourselves, then we also weigh things with regard to others and do not bind them by words or gestures. If we are dishonest with ourselves, we bind ourselves to our neighbors. However, if we are honest with ourselves, we also leave our fellow people their freedom.
Gabriele gives us more explanations that go even further. Let us be aware that our lack of freedom, which means being bound to people and to external security, is a loss of strength, because binding always takes energy from us. Those who bind themselves to us, by whom we allow ourselves to be bound, take energies from us. This means that, in time, our body also suffers from a lack of energy, causing many a weak organ to fall ill, so that we end up suffering under our lack of freedom. It should become clear to us that every thought that contains a wanting, an expectation, or even a claim, a demand on our neighbor, means a disturbance of unity. Every disturbance of unity, first of all, brings distraction in our thoughts, distress in our feelings, and over the further course, indisposition and illness in the body. This is also true for being self-opinionated and a know-it-all and having a reproachful attitude. We then find neither peace within ourselves nor peace with our fellow people. Through our wanting, through binding thoughts, we attach ourselves to our neighbor. To wherever we think, we are trapped by it. If we don't want to let go, the one to whom we bind ourselves will ensnare us and rob us of more or less energy, thus trapping us in their thought patterns, so to speak. We are then imprisoned by this, unfree, bound. Gabriele continues to explain. Binding, that is, unfreedom, also inevitably arises when we fail to live up to a responsibility. If, for example, we do not carry out the tasks we have taken on or do so only half-heartedly, carelessly, and inadequately, we become irresponsible over time. People who do not keep their given word are unfree. They are unreliable. They lack steadfastness. Unfreedom leads to constantly leaning on others. People who are not trustworthy because they do not keep their word are always looking for like-minded people, that is, people who are as unfree as they are. They confirm each other. This leads to a so-called swamp life. Once we have said yes and do not keep it, then we have broken our word. We may then become entangled in further promises, becoming our own prisoner over time. How do we get out of this imprisonment when we may have bound ourselves to many or even a great many people to whom we promised something and do not keep it? These people are now the bars of our prison. So if we have promised something, we should keep it. However, before we make such a decision, we should question ourselves regarding our motives. And before we give our yes to someone or say yes to something, we should examine thoroughly. Is it according to God's will? Is it according to His commandments? Am I doing it voluntarily? Am I doing it out of conviction? Do I know that it corresponds to freedom? Then, after careful consideration and analysis, if we say yes, we should keep it. Otherwise, we become our own prisoner. Because so many people mostly do not keep their word, they have many, very many problems and hardly get out of their own prison. Everyone is the architect of their happiness or unhappiness, because happiness or failure lies in the people themselves. Many people believe that freedom depends on ownership and possessions. Let us be aware of the fact that truly wealthy people are not those who think only of themselves, who hoard and accumulate possessions. Every excessive personal possession makes the person dependent on his possessions and degrades them. But those who use their wealth for new works, for paths that others can follow, which then also lead to abundance for many, are in truth free, because they have become rich within. Let us be aware that true love makes us free. Only those who love God know that God loves them. This realization leads to absolute freedom.
In the seminar with Gabriele, more was discussed. But those who do not love God look for external support. They bind themselves to people and to the world. As a result, they also create doctrines and dogmas. Creation of dependence is a fundamental and essential part of the system of religion. This is clearly, if not to say explicitly, expressed in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example. In the Catechism, the Church exposes its system with astonishing openness. For example, it says in number 1269, having become a member of the Church, the person baptized belongs no longer to himself, but to him who died and rose for us. From now on, he is called to be subject to others, to serve them in the communion of the Church, and to obey and submit to the Church's leaders, holding them in respect and affection. End of quote. Thus, the baptized infant is already condemned to dependence and cannot even object to it. The greatest impudence is to bring Jesus, the Christ, our Redeemer, into play in this context. Jesus was a man of freedom, who himself did not bind anyone to himself, and also did not ask anyone to bind themselves, to be patronized, co-opted, subjugated, and indoctrinated. Christ came as Jesus to make us, all human beings and souls, free. He gave his earthly life so that everyone now has the chance, each day, to draw a little closer to freedom in the law of God. Paul, not Jesus, spoke of subordination. Jesus did not subordinate himself to the rulers of the Church of that time, nor did he teach his fellow people to do so. On the contrary,
we read further, how far-reaching access to the independence and personal responsibility of people by the Church is shown, among other things, with the following example. We can read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church under number 2039. Ministries should be exercised in a spirit of fraternal service and dedication to the church in the name of the Lord. At the same time, the conscience of each person should avoid confining itself to individualistic considerations in its moral judgments of the person's own acts. As far as possible, conscience should take account of the good of all, as expressed in the moral law, natural and revealed, and consequently in the law of the Church and in the authoritative teaching of the magisterium on moral questions. Personal conscience and reason should not be set in opposition to the moral law or the magisterium of the Church. This means total dependence. The Church and its doctrine, its law, should thus be the measure of all things, a clear rejection of the use of conscience and the use of reason. Thus, a ban on thinking, total subordination, even self-sacrifice are demanded. Many who become aware of what a straitjacket they are in will remember the words of John of Patmos, which read, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues." And so many a one will make a decision for themselves. The adversary of God speaks the word binding. His principle is divide, bind, and rule. Binding does not connect and leads to unfreedom. There's no system of rulership that was not based on binding and dependence. In contrast, in the law of God, it is link and be, which means selfless love, equality, freedom, and unity, the brotherly, sisterly with and for one another.
Here the five divine principles are addressed: equality, freedom, unity, brotherliness or brotherly sisterliness, and justice. Gabriele explains more about this. The brotherly with and for one another, of which we just heard, is peaceableness that is practiced. The principles, the basic rules of equality, freedom, unity, brotherliness, and justice, are the foundation for a peaceful togetherness among people. It is they who would make peaceable people out of those who belong to a belligerent, supposedly Christian Western world. And in view of the statements of church representatives who repeatedly emphasize that they are not pacifists, the question has to be asked, why was the peaceable teaching of Jesus the Christ that would have led to security, unity, and prosperity rejected? One answer of many possible answers is, most people are conformists. A conformist is a person who is not free and adopts his attitude to the prevailing opinion. From this follows, those who do not swim with this turbid mass, turned away from God's will, remain outsiders who have to accept many losses because they are not one of them, because they have joined Him, Jesus, the Christ, who makes one truly free. True followers of Jesus the Christ are upright people who see clearly, who follow their lively conscience, the inner ethical moral control authority, alert, self-responsible, independent of thought and action. Dear fellow people, Gabriele now answers a question that is certainly a concern of us all. She says, how can we find the connection that, for instance, characterizes true friendship? True friendship means to forgive each other again and again, to keep the commandments of God, and to orient ourselves by the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, the Christ. From this develop freedom, true friendship, and peace. The divine in human beings is the alert heart of the soul, the faithfulness to the Eternal One, the clear view, and the fulfillment of the will of God. Such people are far removed from the common motive force of those who speak of freedom but are unfree. Those people in whom love and truth are one will not be adrift in the anchorage grounds of the world, not even when there are situations in which they think they are adrift on the high seas. Their God consciousness is their strength. Whoever has attained this strength will neither judge nor condemn. They remain linked to love and truth in their striving and living. Reverence for the supreme law, which is love and neighborly love, is their commitment. Every soul longs for freedom. We feel it in our feelings and in our conscience. A sentence that we can move in ourselves if we want to. A sentence not only for today. Free is the one to whom the day belongs.
Dear fellow people, these are motivating words to all of us, which can help us every day to draw closer to our goal, the freedom in God. Gabriele continues, those who do not become free always shatter everything that is good. Let's look into our world, this lack of freedom. Everyone wants only to be courted by the other. For this, they start wars. Through this, they end up in dependence and much more. In the end, the exaltation before the other ultimately shows one's own weakness, that is, unfreedom. Every war, even in thoughts, is against the neighbor. It is nothing but one's own weakness. When nations wage wars, whoever attacks is always the weaker. War, whether in thought, whether in word, whether one country acts with armed force against another, war is always weakness. Freedom is a gift from the Father. From the freedom, the inner love and the inner connection to the soul of our fellow people, but also, above all, the communication to God, our Father, can truly be developed. Then, we no longer look at our fellow people, expecting them to do something for us. We are free within ourselves to develop the love for God. Again, Gabriele gives us encouragement with the words, dear fellow people, if we free ourselves from what still binds us, by daily monitoring ourselves and clearing things up, then gradually freedom develops, which gives us the strength to help others selflessly, here and there, without thinking of ourselves. The purpose of our existence on earth is to regain communication with freedom, with the divine in us, in order to sense what God has in mind for us in this world. We should not be content to always follow our personal path from the cradle to the grave. But God wants that we, after a certain time, have acquired the inner maturity, that is, the inner freedom, to sense our neighbor in order to serve and help our neighbor.
In the following, a tip from Gabriele about how we can gain freedom and more inner values, that is, inner maturity. If we strive to follow the instructions of the Sermon on the Mount in the situations of our everyday life, for example, by giving up every fight against our neighbor, by recognizing in ever finer nuances the belligerence in our feelings, sensations, and thoughts, and defeating it with the help and through the power of the inner Christ, then His light will shine in us more and more, and we will experience His workings in everyday life in manifold ways. Those who learn to experience and sense Christ in themselves will gain inner support, independence, inner security and strength, gifts of the All-Highest that are indestructible, because God's power, love and wisdom are everlasting. So let us become free in order to be free. To be free is the quality of life. To be free is peace. To be free is love and unity. So, become free and be free. Well, dear friends, it depends on us. We have it in our hands, for our life is the true school in which we can make further experiences with these invaluable explanations from the divine wisdom and take steps toward freedom and unity in God. In this spirit, we wish all of us all the best, rich in learning experiences. Goodbye and greetings in God.